And the camp was phenomenal. I can't say enough about it. It really was an amazing week. There were probably approximately 1,150 people at this camp. 1,150 people singing praises to God. 1,150 people focusing on the things of God, being refreshed, being encouraged, hearing the Word of God, making decisions. This camp said, they told us at one of the sponsor meetings, that all summer they've had approximately 10,000 young people come to their camp over the course of about 10 weeks. All 10,000 young people all summer that were focused on the things of God, making decisions, important decisions in their life for Christ, allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to their hearts. However, I've been in the ministry for almost 14 years now, and that's not a super long time, but it's long enough to know that even in a building full of young people like that, in a building where you have 1,000 young people, and college students and adults, in a setting where they are praising God, they're hearing the Word of God, many making decisions for Christ, even in that type of setting, unfortunately, many of those young people will eventually leave church and essentially turn their backs on God by the time that they are out of high school. There are two studies conducted by the Barna Group and USA Today. They found that nearly 75% of young people leave church after high school and many times never look back. The number, of course, is staggering. Now, many argue on the exact percentage. However, we know that simply by our own experience, many by your own personal experience, that there is definitely fallout. And it's an unfortunate thing. Many young people, once they get out of high school, they leave home, Christianity, the church, the Bible, just isn't important to them anymore. We live in a society, a world today, where all that is contrary to God's Word is exalted, and all that is righteous according to God's Word is despised. We are truly living in perilous times. And that's what Paul talks about in this letter to Timothy, in 2 Timothy in chapter 3. And as most of you know, in the first part of chapter 3, Paul says to Timothy that in the last days, perilous times shall come. So what is indicative of these perilous times? Well, in verse 2, the Bible says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." Now, that's very typical for this day and age, isn't it? This generation is considered the selfie generation, almost always putting self-comfort and self above everything else. Verse 4, "Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. For of this sort are they which crept into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts." So in this list of attitudes, if you will, we see what is typical in these perilous times in these last days. Paul states it again. Look at chapter 4, 2 Timothy, just a page over. Verses 3 and 4, the Bible says this, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." In other words, Paul is warning Timothy that in the last days that people, even those people that call themselves believers, will be led away by silly doctrines, by fables. Their ears will be turned from the truth. Now turn back just a couple of pages in 1 Timothy 4:1. You'll see the same thought. Paul again speaking to Timothy about the last days. 1 Timothy 4:1. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." In other words, in the latter days, in these perilous times, we will see people who once claimed to be of the faith, young people who grew up in Sunday school, grew up going to junior church, going to teen camps, going to conferences. They will, as Timothy has been warned by Paul, depart from the faith, turning their ears from the truth and forsaking what they have been taught is right and true. So it should really be of no surprise when we hear those statistics and those accounts of young people leaving the church after high school, because we know what happens in the latter days when perilous times shall come. However, it is not so comforting when we especially think about, could one of those that depart from the faith be one of our own? You know, we had 23 teenagers attend camp this past week. We were one of the churches with the most teenagers there. And it's depressing to think of the possibility that as they finish high school, they could be part of that statistic of those who stop going to church and don't continue to walk with the Lord. But of course, as always, from the Word of God, there is comfort. The Apostle Paul gives us some great insights as he explains to Timothy about the latter days, but then exhorts Timothy on what he should be doing. Look again on our text, if you will, in 2 Timothy 3, in verse 15. Paul says, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Like many of these young people, many of you in this room, Timothy has known the Holy Scriptures, known the truth from the time that he was a child. In the first chapter of this letter, you don't have to turn there, but in the first chapter, Paul makes mention of the unfeigned or the genuine faith of Timothy, saying that it first dwelt in his mother Eunice and then in his grandmother Lois. From that time, Timothy was a young child. His mother, his grandmother, they have been teaching him the Holy Scriptures, like many of you in this room. As parents, grandparents, you have followed the pattern of Eunice and Lois teaching your children about the truth, the genuine faith of the Bible. You know, we could probably say that Timothy would be considered a third generation believer. Timothy had a great heritage, and we see that type of heritage in many families today. You know, I'm thankful for the heritage that God has given to Deanna, my wife. Some of you are familiar with the story of her grandparents, who became Christians later on in life. When her grandfather was 40 years old, an independent Baptist missionary, they were going to a Southern Baptist church, I believe, and they didn't have a lot of missionaries that came through there, but an independent Baptist missionary came through to their church to present his ministry. And that is when they surrendered their life to be missionaries to Peru. While in Peru, Deanna's grandfather started a church in the mountains of the city of Huancayo, Peru. A young man named Julio Velasquez, who was raised Catholic, he was lost, he loved music. He would go to his sister's house, and he would listen through the wall of his sister's house to the music of that church that was started on the adjacent wall of her house. Because he loved music so much, he would eventually go into their services, and he would sit in their services for a few years, just listening to the music. And eventually, Brother Witherell, Nana's grandfather, was able to lead the Velasquez to Christ. Brother Velasquez married Brother Witherell's daughter, Andrea. They became missionaries, and they've been on the mission field ever since. And then one day, they accomplished the greatest thing that they could ever accomplish in their lives. Deanna was born. Deanna is a third generation missionary, or a third generation believer, a third generation servant of the Lord. And now, of course, our son Aaron would be a fourth generation believer. Deanna and Aaron, like Timothy, can say that they have a wonderful, rich heritage. And we say, amen. Praise the Lord when we hear testimonies like that. But then we also remember the stories and the sad accounts of those who have departed from the faith, those who have gone the way of Demas, forsaking the Lord and loving this present world. Paul tells Timothy, this young pastor who has a godly heritage, who has grown up being taught the Holy Scriptures from the time that he was a child, that in the last days men will depart from the faith. Men and women will love pleasure more than they will love God. People will be lovers of their own selves. So what does Paul tell Timothy to do? Look at our text, verse 14 in chapter 3. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of." Continue thou. You, Timothy, continue in those things that you have been taught. Continue in the things that you have been assured of. Well, what are those things? Verse 15. We've already stated it. "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures." Paul tells Timothy to continue. Believers in this room, we must continue in God's Word. Young people, camp was great. It was fun. The Word of God and the things of God were preeminent, but now you must continue in the things that you have learned. Continue in the truths of God's Word. All of us in this room must heed the admonition from the Apostle Paul and continue in what we have learned to be the truth from God's Word. You know, we could point out so many of the older Christians in this room who have been so faithful to their Savior for so many years. I think about Brother Jack McLean. He just passed away. It was a shame that we had to miss his funeral. But I think about him who was such a faithful servant, faithful witness. Every time you'd talk to him, he'd be talking about somebody that he was witnessing to. He loved his Savior so much, and now he's in the presence of the one he loved. There are so many senior saints in this room that are encouragement to me, and I know they're encouragement to our pastor, who have a wonderful Christian heritage. Many who have known the Holy Scriptures, they've known the truth from the time that they were little kids, growing up in Sunday school. So many that come from very different backgrounds, but the common denominator between all of them is that they have done exactly what the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy in this verse, and that is to continue in the things that thou hast learned. They have continued in the truths of God's Word. The Bible and its truths are not just pertinent to those growing up in Sunday school or Awana or juniors and teenagers going to camp. We must continue in what we have learned and hold tight to those truths. As we move into adulthood and become husbands and wives, fathers and mothers, co-workers, we need to know the truths of God's Word and continue in it. To know how to be the best husband that we can be. To know how to be the best wife that you can be. We need wisdom from God's Word on how to be the best father that we can be, or how to be the best mother that you can be according to His Word. We desperately, so desperately, need wisdom from God's Word so that we can know how not to turn out like Rick Blaylock. I mean, that's so important. Paul is reminding Timothy here, as we've noted, the attitudes and the sins be typical in the last days when perilous times shall come. If you look at the list that Paul gives in the first seven verses of chapter 3, it certainly reminds us of our society today. But what does Paul tell Timothy to do? You know, he doesn't tell Timothy to despair. He doesn't tell Timothy to just batten down the hatches and just wait for Christ's return. He doesn't tell Timothy to make sure that he votes for the right political party, because, you know, maybe if we can get the current emperor out of office and put the right emperor with the right political views in office, life will be better, Timothy. He doesn't tell him that. He doesn't tell Timothy just to give up. No, Paul simply tells Timothy to continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Timothy, since a child you have been taught the Holy Scriptures, the truths of God's Word. And even though Paul says in verse 13 that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, all you need to do, O my son in the faith, Timothy, is to continue in what you have learned. Each week we have the opportunity to come to church and to be spiritually fed three times a week with the truth of God's Word. Each week we all have the opportunity, 7 days a week, to read and study the truth of God's Word. Many of you in here have had the opportunity to know God's Word, the truth of God's Word, from a child. Whatever our opportunity has been to know the truth, we are to continue in that truth. I enjoyed the opportunity, thoroughly enjoyed this opportunity to take the teenagers to camp this past week. You can ask my family, I'm not really one of those camp people. My wife grew up going to camp, so she loves it. I, on the other hand, I enjoy conferences. I enjoy, youth conferences or things like that, meetings that are usually held in conference centers and rooms that have air conditioners, where you stay in hotel rooms where they have air conditioners, where you go to restaurants and you eat out where they have air conditioners, and then you go back to your hotel room. Even if you've done an activity outside, you get to go back and be in that nice air conditioner. I have to say, the Wilds, you know, they've come a long way. They do have some air conditioning. I think the boys' cabins didn't have them, and that's probably why I enjoyed it so much, is because of all the air conditioning that they have now. But honestly, I did enjoy the camp, all joking aside, even the parts that didn't have air conditioning, I enjoyed it. Because they put so much emphasis on knowing the truth of God's Word. Typical day, as Robbie has basically already stated, and that the young people would come, you know, would do every day. They would get up, they would go to breakfast, they would have scripture memory, memorizing the truth of God's Word. After that, there was a chapel service, there was God and I time, where the truth of God's Word was personal to them. God and I time follow-up with their counselors. Then they would have, on certain days, Christian life seminar. And then they would have some free time where they'd get to have some fun. Then they would have an evening service. And after that, they would have cabin devotions. So there was just much truth, the truth of God's Word that was being able to penetrate these young people's hearts. You say, Brother Jeff, doesn't that seem like a bit much? Aren't they saturating them with the Bible? Yes, they are. And what better thing to saturate them with? Every day of their lives, they and we are saturated with the world's philosophies, with the filth and the agenda of Hollywood and the media. How refreshing it is to be saturated with the truths of God's Word. We must continue in these truths in the Holy Scriptures, in the things that we have learned and been assured of. Real quickly, two things. Only two things, two simple, obvious truths that we have learned and been assured of that we must continue in. The first truth that we must continue in, number one, is our love for God. You say, Jeff, isn't that simple and obvious? Yes, it is. Look at chapter 3 of 2 Timothy in verse 4. The Bible says, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. This is a simple and obvious truth. Yet when you look at those who have departed from the faith, as Paul put it, you can't help but notice their love for pleasure, a love for the things of this world more than a love for God. We are to continue in our love for God. You remember the account, I'm sure, of the scribe who came up to Jesus in the Gospels? And he asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment of all the law of Moses? Jesus answered him and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart and with all of thy soul and with all of thy mind and with all of thy strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. You know, it's interesting that Paul states in these verses that in the last days there will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. It is our human nature to seek after pleasure for our own selves and to let pleasure have the preeminence over everything else in our lives. 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And then verse 16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Our love for God should be preeminent first place in our hearts and lives and should surpass all other pleasures of this life. We are to love God with all of our heart and all of our being. I wonder tonight, what is it that you love more than God? What is it that comes first in your life other than God? We know that anything that we love more than God is an idol. So what or who is the object of your affection? You know, there's so many things that we focus on in this life that they just don't really matter. However, you know what really matters tonight? What really matters tonight is if you love God with all of your heart. And what really will matter tomorrow and the next day, and the following week, and the months, and the years after that, is your love for God. I'm sure you remember that great text in Revelation chapter 2, where Jesus warns the church at Ephesus and says that he has something against them. If you remember from the book of Acts in chapter 19, Paul had gone to the city of Ephesus and started this great church with a small group of believers. Those believers, they were strong, they were dedicated, they were faithful Christians, withstanding all the paganism and wild philosophies of the day. Their love for God was so preeminent that it says in verse 20, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. However, You fast forward 40 years or so, and we see the church of Ephesus once again in the book of Revelation. Now a more established church. And as we know, Jesus gives a few words of praise, saying that He knows that their doctrine is good. He knows that their works, that they are good. They have even cast out false teachers. However, there is something that He has against them. He says there is one thing, the most important thing that He has against them, and that is that they have left their first love. Their love for God and Christ is not the preeminent thing anymore. Our love for God is what really matters. We can get distracted by various things in life. We can get busy with the day-to-day tasks and the events and the schedules, but we know this one thing. We know that we are supposed to love God. We are to continue in our pursuit to love God. The first truth is that we must continue to love our God. The second and last truth, quickly, is that we must continue in, is number two, our love for the Word of God. Yes, another simple and obvious truth. Look at verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And then just a few pages back in 1 Timothy 4:16, Paul again telling Timothy this: take heed unto thyself, and unto the doctrine continue in them. The first thing is to love God. We are talking about the heart, taking care of our heart, but the very next thing is to take care of the mind. Jesus said to love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and what? All of your mind. As Christians, we ought to have a deep love and a deep respect for God's precious Word. At camp this past week, they have about an hour or so Thursday that they call family reunion. We enjoyed that time. That's when your church groups, they get together and you give out snacks. You fellowship with the kids. You kind of ask them how they're doing, because you don't always get to see them during the week. So you ask them how they're doing, and they give testimonies. We had some of the ones that gave testimonies tonight, gave a testimony during that time. And then you have a devotional. I'd ask Robbie Pickett if he would give the devotional, and he spoke on the subject of truth. He told them that how Jesus said that He was the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by Him. He also noted that the Word of God is truth. So when the science professor tries to say that science is the supreme authority and tries to disprove the existence of God, we know that we have the truth of God in the palm of our hands that tells us the existence of God. When our society goes haywire and tries to redefine gender in marriage, we know that we have the truth of God's Word that tells us right from the beginning that marriage is between a man and a woman. When TV and movies and sitcoms and music try to glorify the pleasures of this world, we know that we have the truths from the Bible that tells us that we must continue in the things that we have learned, continue in the truth, because in the last days, there will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Over and over, the Apostle Paul admonishes Timothy to stay the course, to continue in the truth, continue in the things that thou hast learned. Take heed unto thyself and continue in the doctrine, continue in the Word of God. Do we love and cherish the Word of God tonight? Young people, do you love and cherish the Bible? Throughout this message, I've made comparisons of those who stay in the faith, those who walk away from God, walked away from church, the faith, to those who have continued in the faith. We mentioned that a statistic that 75% of young people who attend church leave the church after they graduate high school. But do you know what the common denominator seems to be for those young people who don't walk away from church, who don't walk away from God, and who don't walk away from the faith? The common denominator is that they love God, and they love the Word of God. They hold a high and reverent view of the Scriptures. It is those people and those young people who are raised where God's word is loved and is exalted and practiced in principle, that have a very, that there's a very high percentage of them which stay in church, in the faith, and raise their families in church also. You know, we live in a day and a time where Paul, as Paul said in chapter 4, that people, they don't want to hear sound doctrine anymore. But instead they have itching ears, not for the truth, but for fables, for meaningless philosophies. They want to hear something new. They don't want to hear about the old, antiquated, outdated book. Let's hear about something new and radical. I'm glad that we are part of a church that still preaches the truths and the principles from God's holy word, aren't you? We ought to love the word of God. David said, "The Bible is to be desired more than gold, yea, than much fine gold." Paul is telling Timothy that these truths, this book isn't just any old book. This book isn't the Stephen Covey's Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, or the Six Pillars of Self-Esteem, or the Power of the Subconscious Mind. That's a winner. No, this is the Word of God. This is Scripture. Paul says it best in verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All Scripture, not just parts of it, not bits and pieces of it, but all Scripture is inspired of God, God breathed. The Bible is not a collection of wisdom and insights of men. It is God's truth in His own Word, in His own words. It should truly amaze us that each time that we see a Bible, each time that we pick one up and hold it in our hands, that we are holding the very words of God. Timothy, continue thou in the things that thou hast learned. We must continue in our love for God, and we must continue in our love for the Word of God. Young people, let me challenge you with this. After a wonderful week of camp, a great week, it was phenomenal. Continue in the things that you have learned. Each week you have the privilege to come to a great church, a Bible-believing church, where you can hear the truth of God's Word taught in Sunday school and through all the services throughout the week. Many of you have had the privilege of being at camp this week where the Word of God was exalted and the truths of the Word of God were preeminent all week. Remember that the Christian life is a journey. Take what you have learned and continue in them. Make a decision to daily walk with Christ and decide daily that you are going to love God and love the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You so much for Your goodness. We're so grateful for the time that You allowed all of these young people, my family and the Pickett family, to be at this camp. I'm thankful for the testimonies that we have heard tonight from these young people. It is evident that God has worked in their lives, and God has done some tremendous things in their lives. And I just pray for them, all of them, that they will continue. I pray that all of us here tonight will continue in the things that we have learned. Father, may You go with us as we go on our way. May we glorify You in everything that we do. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.